Chapter 2, Cashing In on Real Estate. What is important is to keep learning, to enjoy challenge, and to tolerate ambiguity. In the end, there are no certain answers. Martina Horner, president of Radcliffe College. In early 2005, real estate prices in Phoenix were skyrocketing. I bought a house in my neighborhood for $525,000, cleaned it up, and sold it 13 months later for $710,000. Some people work a lifetime to save up the kind of money I made on this one real estate transaction. Now, you might be saying, anyone can make money in real estate when the market is hot. That's true in many cases, but everyone also knows that hot markets last only so long, and then they become cold again. And that's exactly what happened a few months later. By the middle of 2006, the Phoenix real estate market completely changed when the supply of houses far outstripped the demand. Not only were houses selling much more slowly than before, but their prices were dropping. This is the time when uninformed investors can lose money. In the current Phoenix market, if you tried buying a house, fixing it up, and selling it right away for a profit, you would likely lose money. That's the time when too many people throw up their hands in disgust and mutter to themselves, "Real estate investing just isn't for me." The problem isn't the market or real estate investing in general. The problem is using the wrong strategy and not understanding market cycles and adjusting to them accordingly. Let's say you're playing baseball and pitching against the other team's best hitter. For your first pitch, you throw a fastball right down the middle and the batter swings and misses. You might be thinking that the batter can't hit your fastball. So for your second pitch, you throw the same fastball right down the middle and the batter swings and misses again. Now you're starting to think you can do nothing wrong. So for your third pitch, you throw the same fastball right down the middle, and the batter knocks it out of the ballpark for a home run. What did you do wrong? You kept applying the same strategy even though outside circumstances were changing. The first and second time you threw a fastball, you might have surprised the batter. But the third time you threw the same fastball, the batter was ready and waiting. When outside circumstances change, make sure your strategy changes too. A common definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. I'd like to modify that and say that doing the same thing over and over and expecting the same result even under different circumstances is also a form of insanity. That's why I urge you to think outside the box. Don't just look at what everyone else is doing. Look at the same situation from different points of view. When the real estate market falls, most people are ready to think like Chicken Little and proclaim that the sky is falling. That's not the time to flee the real estate market. That's the time to switch gears and adopt a different strategy. And that is exactly what I do. Instead of looking for properties to buy, fix, and quickly sell, flip, for a profit, I look for foreclosures and distressed properties that I can buy for a major discount, rent to pay expenses, and sell when the market goes back up. For example, a few weeks before I wrote this, I purchased a two-family home in foreclosure for less than $60,000. I immediately refinanced the property for $192,000 and walked away with a check for well over $100,000 after all expenses were paid. And I still own the property. Now I can rent this property to cover the mortgage, and when the home market takes off again, and it will eventually, I'll be able to sell it for a profit or hold it through the next up cycle. Could I buy a house during a hot real estate market and rent it out? Of course. But if you don't sell the property at a profit during a hot market, the market will change and you'll miss out on your opportunity to walk away with a good chunk of cash. Notice that as long as you understand the up and the down cycles of real estate, you can't lose. You just might not walk away with the maximum amount of profit. That's what makes the secret of my book so simple. First, you have to understand what real estate market or cycle you are in. Then you have to apply the proper strategy to make money in that cycle. In this way, you can minimize your risk and maximize your profits. Timing is everything. Wrong. You cannot afford to wait for perfect conditions. Goal setting is often a matter of balancing timing against valuable resources. Opportunities are easily lost while waiting for perfect conditions. Gary Ryan Blair. Most people only know and use one strategy. Then they try to time the market so their strategy provides the maximum payout. But timing is difficult, and chances are good that you'll never get it right. My method is different, because it doesn't rely on timing. I'm not saying that timing isn't important. I'm saying that what's more important is correctly identifying the current market conditions and then applying the right strategy. Once you can predict the real estate market you're in, you'll know exactly what the market is going to do, and you'll know exactly how to profit from it. And unlike the stock market, which can change or crash overnight, the real estate market takes months, and in most cases years, to change. So it is easier to forecast changes and plan. When most people talk about timing, they're usually talking about buying properties when the real estate market has hit rock bottom, and then trying to sell those same properties when the real estate market has reached its peak. The problem with this strategy is that you have to guess correctly when the real estate market has hit rock bottom, and then guess correctly a second time when it has climbed back to its peak. Unfortunately, by the time you identify the rock bottom cycle of the real estate market, prices will have already started climbing. Then, by the time you identify the peak of a real estate cycle, prices will have already begun falling. Most of the time, you're going to guess too early or too late. Basically, all you need to know are four terms. An up market is when prices are rising. An up market is also called a seller's market because there are more buyers than sellers. The sellers can raise their prices to the maximum the market will allow due to multiple buyers scrambling to buy before the market goes even higher. A down market is when prices are dropping. A down market is also called a buyer's market because more people are selling properties than buying them. During this time, buyers can name their price, and sellers will often accept less money just to get rid of the property. A peak market is when prices are at their maximum. A peak market is also called a bubble market because that's when prices reach the highest they're going to go before they start sinking back down. During a bubble market, the number of buyers and sellers is starting to equal out, so prices start falling. A bottom market is when prices hit their lowest point. A bottom market is when prices reach their absolute lowest level. This is when the number of buyers once again nearly equals the number of sellers, which starts the up and down cycle of the real estate market all over again. I show between the periods of 1945 and 2005 that there are different cycles of the real estate market. Sometimes prices are rising, sometimes they're falling, and sometimes they've reached their peak or bottom before changing directions. Think about your own area. You've probably seen or heard about prices rising or falling, but everyone knows that nothing lasts forever. Every time prices fall, they'll eventually rise again. And when prices rise, they'll eventually slow down and fall. Sometimes prices are falling or stagnant for long periods of time. And sometimes prices rise quickly and then taper off just as fast. No matter how long a cycle lasts or how high and low it goes, real estate always rises and falls in a cycle. The key to success is identifying what part of the cycle your real estate market is in. In this chapter, I'll show you exactly how to do it. By understanding the predictable cyclical nature of real estate prices, you'll never have to worry about whether you're in a booming market or a bubble is about to burst market. You can make money in any market as long as you use the proper strategy. The highs and lows of real estate cycles may not be easy to predict, but overall, real estate prices always increase over time. You've probably heard your grandparents telling you how they could have bought land decades ago for a small amount of cash, and now that same property is worth hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars. But have you ever heard of anyone complaining that they bought land decades ago and now that same land is worth less? Furthermore, whatever a piece of property is selling for now, someday someone will say, "I remember when I could have bought that piece of property for $2,000 an acre, and now it is worth $100,000 an acre." Someday, someone will wish they bought that property at $100,000 an acre when it is worth $150,000 or maybe $200,000. Historically, the average real estate price has always increased. Real estate prices may go up and down, but the overall trend is for prices to increase in the long term. What makes real estate investing so exciting is that it's possible to make money in both the long term and in the short term. I show between the period of 1945 and 2005 that real estate prices may go up and down, But the overall trend is for prices to increase in the long term. What makes real estate investing so exciting is that it's possible to make money in both the long term and the short term. What type of real estate should I invest in? Before we go any further, you may be wondering what type of real estate you should invest in. Should you specialize in family homes or condominiums, or should you buy anything if it looks like a good deal? Before you decide what you should do, let me describe the two main types of real estate available. The two main types of real estate are residential and commercial. Residential properties are considered anything that people can live in, such as single-family homes, duplexes, condominiums, and apartment buildings. Basically, anything that puts a roof over someone's head while he or she sleeps at night. Commercial properties consist of places where people do business, such as office buildings, retail space, and warehouses. So given the choice between residential and commercial properties, which one should you choose? Although you can make money in both types of properties, I prefer and recommend residential properties for one simple reason. Everyone needs to live somewhere. So residential properties are much easier to buy and sell. In addition, residential properties are usually priced lower than commercial properties, thus making them more accessible to the average investor. Depending on your area, typical residential properties can range from $50,000 to $500,000, while commercial properties may start at $500,000 and increase to several million dollars or more. Understanding the residential market is also much easier than understanding commercial real estate. For most people, their first experience with real estate is buying or selling a home, so lenders and agents are accustomed to helping novices understand and get started in buying and selling residential properties. Few people start out in real estate by buying or selling commercial properties, so these properties tend to be bought and sold by experienced real estate investors. Residential properties are easier to purchase with little or no money down because banks and other lenders are more willing to extend credit to home buyers. In the unfortunate event that someone can no longer afford to make mortgage payments on their home, known as a foreclosure, which I'll tell you more about in Chapter 16, banks know that they can quickly get their money back by selling the foreclosed property. Commercial properties usually require more money up front, because banks know that commercial properties are typically more difficult to sell than residential properties. Best of all, residential properties can be not only an investment, but also a place for you to live. If you buy a duplex or an apartment building, you could live for free in your own property while letting your tenants pay your mortgage with their rent money. When I was in my early 20s, I lived in one of my own multi-unit apartment houses. It was run down when I purchased it, but I slowly renovated it, one apartment at a time. I ended up living in one apartment and worked at night to finish the rest. Eventually, I got all of them rented, had a great positive cash flow each month, and lived for free the entire time. Instead of spending money on my own home, I was able to use that money to buy and fix up more property. I lived in that apartment until I moved into a new, custom-built, 4,000-square-foot home. That strategy of living for free really paid off. In Chapter 19, I describe rental units and all the benefits you can receive with the proper strategy and management. Residential properties are also more flexible as an investment tool. Most commercial real estate investors make their money by leasing retail space to businesses, such as restaurants, shops, or offices. If you can't find a business to lease your space, you don't make any money, but you still have to pay your property taxes and meet your mortgage payments every month. Everyone needs a place to live, but not everyone needs a retail storefront. As a result, commercial properties tend to be harder to sell and rent compared to residential properties. Residential properties are just the opposite. Because everyone needs to live somewhere, residential properties are much easier to rent during slow real estate markets when people aren't buying homes. Residential properties are also easy to sell, especially when the real estate market is hot. These two advantages, easy to rent and easy to sell, make residential properties much more attractive, especially for the first-time or novice real estate investor. Throughout this book, when I talk about investing in real estate, I'm talking exclusively about residential real estate, not only single-family homes, but also multiple units, such as duplexes, triplexes, or even apartment buildings. The advantage of an apartment building is that all your rental units are in one place, which makes them easier to manage. In addition, the combined rental income from all your units can produce a steady cash flow. The disadvantage is that you may have a high tenant turnover rate, along with greater maintenance problems. One type of residential property that most people don't think about is vacant land. In general, vacant properties aren't a good investment because you can't rent it out to generate income. To make money on vacant land, you have to sell it. And how many people want to buy vacant land compared to buying a house? You can make money on vacant land, but you have to be aware of costs, turnaround time, and other factors. The general rule with vacant land is that you need to sell it for more than twice what you paid for it within 2 years to justify the expense in owning the land in the first place. In Chapter 15, I'll show you how to lock up a piece of property for a certain amount of time and reassign the contract to another developer or buyer to make a profit as the middleman. This may be a great way for you to profit from vacant land with little or no risk. Another category of residential property that many people overlook is distressed properties. A distressed property is usually in poor condition, in need of major repairs, or just owned by someone who wants to get rid of it as soon as possible due to a divorce, a job loss, a death in the family, or a mortgage that had a variable interest rate that the current owner can no longer afford to pay. Distressed properties can often be a great opportunity to purchase property inexpensively. I'll tell you more about them in chapters 16 and 17. Where to buy real estate. Many people also wonder where they should buy residential real estate. Although you can buy property anywhere in the country, I recommend that you start buying property in your local area for several reasons. First, by buying property locally, you know the area in a way that no outsider could know firsthand. You probably already know which parts of town are growing, which parts are sinking, which parts to avoid, and which parts have always been desirable. As a local resident, you may already know about changes that could increase or decrease real estate prices in your area. Is a new shopping mall, freeway, or office building being built nearby? Are factories and businesses laying off people? Or is a new company coming to town? By living in your neighborhood, you already know about the trends and patterns of your local real estate market without even trying. A second advantage to buying and selling real estate locally is that if your property is nearby, you can keep your eye on it. If minor problems occur, such as storm damage, graffiti, or routine wear and tear, you can spot and fix them right away. Knowing the real estate market is a key to recognizing opportunities when they appear. Even if you focus locally, you might find that area too large to understand and monitor easily. In a small town of 4,000 people, it might be easy to know the entire area. But in a large metropolitan area such as Phoenix, with more than 5 million people, it's impossible for even long-time residents to monitor, let alone understand such a vast area. That's one reason why individuals can enter the real estate market quickly. Even multimillionaire experienced real estate investors can't track all the changes in a single city, let alone in your neighborhood, which means you have an advantage over them just by virtue of living and investing right where you live. I recommend that you initially focus on a handful of areas that you can monitor and understand, such as those within a 10-mile radius of your own home. If you're buying rental property, for example, it's much easier to manage 5 rental properties in the same area than 5 rental properties in 5 different parts of town, where real estate and economic conditions can vary dramatically. Become an expert in your area. It's easier to research and become an expert in an area that you drive by every day. If you don't like the area around you, take the time to research an area that you do like, perhaps a place where you would like to live one day. If you can become an expert on a handful of areas in your neighborhood, you'll know more about the real estate conditions in those areas than any so-called experts. Finally, I also suggest that you start out by investing in single-family homes because they're more plentiful and easier to sell than apartment buildings. You and potential buyers can get a wider range of financing plans for a single-family home than for any other type of real estate. By sticking with single-family homes in your own area, you can ease into real estate investing and further minimize your risks. The main reason why most people think about investing in real estate elsewhere is because of the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence mentality. They want to chase a hot, booming real estate market somewhere else. The problem with this strategy is that a hot market will always cool down, which means you can chase hot markets all over the country and never get there in time. One day the hot market might be San Diego, another time it might be Phoenix, another time it could be Salt Lake City. That's why my techniques emphasize making money in any real estate cycle rather than chasing hot markets in other parts of the country. After you understand how you can make money whether the real estate market is hot or cold, you'll know that you can make money right in your own neighborhood right now. Succeeding in any real estate market. The key to success in real estate is knowledge. Know the real estate cycle, know the area, and know the right strategy to use. Is it possible to do everything right and still wind up losing? Of course. But your chances of making a mistake will drop dramatically because I already know what to avoid and what path to follow, and I will teach you to think a little differently. When confronted with a potential loss, too many people accept their situation and take their losses. I prefer to look for ways to turn a potential money-losing real estate transaction into a surefire money-winning transaction. Real life story. A friend who is a real estate investor purchased a 3-unit building at an incredible price in an area that seemed to be growing. Unfortunately, my friend didn't do all of his homework. Although he studied the area during the day, he didn't realize that the neighborhood was crime-infested at night. In such a neighborhood, it was no surprise that he had trouble renting the units. After dealing with constant vacancies, he wanted out of this property, but how could he sell it without taking a loss? This was a classic mistake of buying property without understanding the area first. That's where thinking differently came in. While looking for additional properties in a much better part of town, he found a single-family home advertised in the paper by the owner. The seller had purchased the home to renovate it, but he ran out of money and couldn't complete the remodel. Now he was stuck with a mortgage payment on a house he couldn't rent or sell. He didn't want his property, and my friend didn't want his. So my friend offered to trade the triplex for his half-completed house. The homeowner wanted rental property and was willing to deal with the problems of the triplex, and my friend wanted his house and was willing to deal with the problems of finishing the remodeling. The man advertising in the paper got a rental property, and my friend got a fixer that he was able to remodel and sell for a $45,000 profit. By using creative thinking, it was a win-win situation. I know these were unique circumstances, but by allowing yourself to always focus on a positive solution, unique circumstances seem to pop up. By understanding the techniques I've learned over the past 20 years, focusing on always having a winning outcome can become an easy and normal task. Real life story. Here's an example where one of my students made more than $250,000 by knowing the real estate market and taking action when an opportunity presented itself. After visiting Hawaii and falling in love with the island, he decided to watch real estate prices on the Hawaiian island of Maui. He and his wife dreamed of someday investing in an oceanfront condominium in an area that they could see was increasing in value. After the tragedy of September 11, 2001, when the World Trade Centers in New York City were hit by terrorists, air travel around the country dropped significantly. This was especially true for vacation spots that relied on air travel, such as Hawaii. Just a few months after the 9/11 disaster, most property prices in Hawaii remained the same, but the number of sales declined. Suddenly, one anxious seller dropped the price of an oceanfront condominium from $640,000 to $440,000. Most people would gladly pay $440,000 for a $640,000 condominium, but the seller had one condition. He wanted to spend 3 weeks in the condominium the following summer, because he had already made plans to visit Maui with his family. My student purchased a property for $415,000. The seller accepted the lower price because my student was the only one willing to accommodate the seller's desire to use the condo. This is an example of knowing the seller's magic buttons to structure a deal. In addition to reducing the price by $200,000, the seller was willing to provide an additional $25,000 discount so he could have 3 weeks' use of the condo. My student was more than willing to agree to this. Since he knew the area so well from his research, he knew this was a distressed seller in a stable market. These condos were rented as vacation units, but because air travel had declined, the rental income had temporarily decreased. Instead of waiting for the temporary decline in travel to rebound, the seller got anxious and panicked. My student simply held onto the property until vacation air travel improved, and then he sold it for $660,000. I've relayed these two stories as examples of how you can make money by being creative. You could find yourself a great deal in a great area and make a lot of money. Or you can find a bad property in an even worse area and still come out ahead and make money. Anything is possible. My methods try to minimize your risks, but no method can be 100% foolproof. That's when you have to think differently. By now, I hope you understand that it's possible to make money in any real estate market without ever having to risk at all. The next step is to identify the factors that can determine what type of real estate cycle your area may be in. Conclusion: you can buy the best house at the wrong time and make little money, or you can buy the worst house at the right time and make a lot of money. Successful real estate investing is knowing the best strategies to use at different times. After you understand what your local real estate market is doing, you're halfway to making a tremendous profit. The next few chapters show you how to identify the real estate market in your area.